While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of the fish had seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Last night I got a text message from Sister Maria Rose, and in her text she said, "Father, I'd like to add another reading to the Mass." So there's a first reading and a gospel reading. She said, because it's the feast day of St. Patrick, I want to put another one in there. And she said, "Can we include a reading from the prophet Jeremiah?" And it was the first reading we heard today, where it says, "Before you were born, I dedicated you. Before you were born, I looked to find the reading, and Sister Marie Rose didn't mark it, so I couldn't get the exact words. "A prophet to the nations I appoint you." So, and I was so delighted because 15 years ago, when I entered the seminary, after 3 days, I was sitting down and a priest was giving a conference, and I was sitting there and I was really struggling. I thought, you know what, I've made a mistake. This isn't for me. I shouldn't be here. And as the priest was talking, I didn't listen to anything he was saying because I was thinking, as soon as he's done, I'm going to get up and leave and get on a plane and go home. Right? God must be calling me somewhere else or I wouldn't feel so uncomfortable here. And all of a sudden, as I'm thinking all of these thoughts, the priest stopped dead in his tracks with whatever he was saying. He says, "You know what? Something has just come to me." And he reached down, he picks up a Bible, and he says, "I am supposed to read this right now, and I cannot tell you why, but I know that I must." And he opens up and he says, "A reading from the prophet Jeremiah." Now the name, my first name, Jeremy, comes from Jeremiah. And he says, "Before you were born, I dedicated you." I consecrated you a prophet to the nations. You shall go to whomever I send you. And as soon as he said, I thought, oh my gosh, that's for me, right? God intervened in that moment, I thought, for me, you know, the prophet Jeremiah, these words, I've chosen you for this. And so I continued on. Well, fast forward 4 years. The bishop calls me and he says, "You know what? You're going into a new phase of your studies. And I'm looking to send you somewhere else." He says, "There's 3 schools that I'm considering. One is in Rome, Italy. One is in Ohio. And one is in Oregon. If it were your choice, where would you go?" And I said to him, "Bishop, I don't want to tell you where I want to go because I don't want to do my own will." I said, "You just say whatever you want me to do and I'll do it." And he says, "No, I'm asking you. If it were your choice, where would you go?" And I said, "Bishop, if it were my choice, I'd go to Rome." Well, 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from the bishop's office, and they say, "The bishop has decided to send you to Oregon." And so I said, "Okay, you know, that's God's will." So I went to Oregon. Well, a year later, I get another phone call from the bishop's office, and he says, a priest who works for him says, the bishop has now decided he would like to send you to Rome. And as soon as I heard that, I was worried. I thought, gosh, what if I hadn't said something? What if this isn't really what God wants for me? And so I was worried about it. Well, the day before I'm supposed to fly to Rome, I get a phone call from the bishop's office from this same priest, and he says, you got to come in right away. He says, I know you're leaving tomorrow. There's a ceremony we must celebrate before you depart. He said, it's essential, otherwise they're not going to accept you there. And so I said, okay. He says, so come to the bishop's office. So I drove down right away to downtown Sacramento. I go to the bishop's office. And he has this book, and he opens it up, and he says, okay. And he's reading what he's supposed to do. He says, okay, we're supposed to have a reading from the Bible. I didn't prepare anything. So he reached down to grab the Bible and says, gosh, what would be something good to read? I know. He opens it up. A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. I said, okay, Lord, I see this is your will. So fast forward 4 more years. The night before I am ordained, a good priest friend of mine who was a hermit in Texas got special permission to attend my ordination. We had been in college together. And he arrives late the night before my ordination. I was waiting up for him. And when I pick him up from the airport, we go back to the church we were staying at. And he says, before we go to sleep, he says, you know what, tomorrow is going to be such a busy day for you. I want to give you your present now. He said, I have no money, so I couldn't go out and buy something nice. But there is a sister in our community who paints icons. And I told her, my friend is going to be ordained. Would she paint an icon for you? He says, I didn't tell her almost anything about you except your name. And he reaches down in his bag and he hands this little icon to me. And it's an icon of the prophet Jeremiah. I'd never seen an icon of Jeremiah before. And he's holding a little scroll in his hand. And on the scroll is etched, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. And I knew it was God's little sign to me that I really was called to be a priest, that I was following His will in my life. I thought of all of that this morning as I read about St. Patrick. Because even though my middle name is Patrick, I know very little about St. Patrick. When St. Patrick was just a little boy, do you know where Patrick was from? Where was he from, Jordan? No! Everybody thinks he's from Ireland. Do you know where he's really from? He was from England. But when he was a young boy, he was kidnapped. There were Irish pirates who came to the coast of England and they stole this young boy. And they brought him to Ireland. St. Patrick, as a young boy, was a slave. And they made him a shepherd. For 6 years, he tended flocks. And it was during those years that he developed his relationship with God. He would pray to God all day long in the fields. And after 6 years, one day, he heard a voice that said, "You are going to go home soon." Well, a short time thereafter, he hears another voice that says, "Your ship is waiting for you." Well, Patrick, he was 200 miles from the Portland, from the port that he could catch a ship home. You know what he does? He hears this voice, the voice of God, and he takes off running. Running to flee from his captors, and he doesn't stop. And he finds his way 200 miles later to the port, and there is a ship there waiting for him. And he gets on this boat, and he returns to Ireland, and he immerses himself in the study of our faith. Because his relationship with God had become so deep. Well, a few years go by, and he has a vision. And in this vision, an Irish man is coming to him, and he's carrying in his sack a bunch of letters. And he comes to Patrick, and he takes out one of the letters, and he hands it to him. And St. Patrick opens up this letter, and at the heading of it, it said, "The Voice of the Irish." And as he reads this letter, he hears the voices of hundreds of Irish people, and they are saying to him this: "We appeal to you, holy shepherd boy, to come and walk among us." St. Patrick left everything, and he journeyed to Ireland, and he never left. He went there to preach the gospel. He was ordained a bishop. He built 300 churches and baptized 100,000 people. The entire country became Catholic, and it's remained one of the most Catholic countries in the world for 1,500 years. Because one man followed the voice of God. Our Heavenly Father speaks to every single one of us in the depths of our hearts and in different ways. Sometimes it might be through a simple icon. Let's ask St. Patrick for the grace to hear his voice and to respond to it with all our hearts, that we might fulfill God's mission in our own lives.